This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I actually, right before we got recording, you know, I was like, hey, are you doing our backup recording? You know, and the reason for that, right behind the shop, there's a lot of construction going on. They're building 130 apartment units directly behind the Country Squire.
Oh, wow.
Which is exciting. We're hoping we can mine a lot of new pipe smokers from those apartments, obviously. But on more than one occasion, these jokers have just decided to conveniently cut the lonely little coax cable that provides our entire connection to the world.
Yeah.
And it's so sad, man. There's just one little cable line that's like crossing over a parking lot and then, you know, goes on top of like a barbed wire fence and then enters into our business. And that is literally what keeps us connected to the world. And, you know, Joe Schmo back there just, you know, running the backhoe. He's not all concerned about it that much. So anyway, we've had a few incidents, but we're thinking today's going to be okay.
So. Okay. All right. That's good, man. No, listen, I get that. I really do. Because of course, you know, we have been in the constant, like this kitchen construction has been like, it feels like 2020 already feels like, you know, an entire lifetime. This kitchen has not exactly helped that situation. But that being said, you know, we're getting close.
It's almost like we've talked about this kitchen situation that's you know, upended your entire broadcasting career for the past like quarter. Like I'm just expecting this to be the Taj Mahal by the time we get done.
I will say this, man, it is actually looking super. I actually need to send you a picture once we get done with this, because it's I know you didn't see the before, but it's looking really, really nice. I'll try to send you both.
But that's great, man. I hope it's worth it.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, hopefully by tomorrow it'll be done. But I do want to give folks a heads up with everything kind of shifting around. This has been the case, I mean, just in general. But if I sound a little echoey today, I'm using a different mic. That's why. And if I sound amazing and you don't even notice, that is entirely because of our amazing editor, Mike, who has been helping produce this show, for a few years now. But shout out to Mike.
I know, man.
Right?
He does some miracles, man. We've put him on some short timelines, too. And he always comes in the clutch, baby.
Yeah,
so.
Man. Superhero.
Love that guy.
Dude, so how are things over at the Country Squire?
Yeah, we're doing great. Doing great. It's, man, it has been a whopper of a year. You know, just looking at the numbers, man, we have just, pipe smokers have really turned to their pipes to get through this ridiculous year that has become 2020. And so, man, just, you know, our sales of our house blends, pipe sales, they, you know, have just really been remarkable. And it's been a lot of fun to watch lots of new pipe smokers, lots of 2 ounce a week pipe smokers become, you know, quarter pound or half pounders. And man, it's been a lot of fun. We generally also don't see this kind of traffic until a little later in the year when it gets a little cooler. You know, it's just been nice, folks coming in and really enjoying their pipe. And I think it's just a nice respite from all the noise from the election and the, you know, items of the day that, you know, get everyone one all wound up. And I don't know. It's been really good. It's neat, too. And it's also neat, I'll just say as an aside, like, to witness day in and day out, people come into our tobacco shop and regularly connect in a very, like, beautiful, civil, warm, loving way, connect over some of the hardest issues of the day.
Dude.
That people are screaming about, like, the things that make being on Facebook right now so miserable.
Dude.
Like, some of those same conversations are happening just feet away from me in our business.
At the Country Squire, yes.
And it's so loving and caring and, like, generous and gracious. And it's just like, man, why can't we bring that to the world?
Man, listen.
And I guess the idea is we're trying to, right, Bo?
I mean, trying to. Look, I know that folks get nervous. Man, I know that folks get nervous because, of course, you know, we made a promise a long time ago. We don't talk politics on this show. But I do think there needs, unless you've ever been to a place like the Country Squire, like, it's hard to really envision this. And, like, you know, you go to even, like, pipe smoking, like, Facebook groups, and you're like, what is this, guys? Seriously? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, it's awful. But, like, in the actual shop, I mean, you've got folks of all different walks of life, all different political persuasions, and even in the midst of I think it's safe to say the most politically tense time in our lifetimes.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But at the Country Squire, man, people come together, smoke a pipe, and listen. And that
it's
you,
so
that
encouraging,
right there, listen.
Man. Yes. Oh man, just you know something. What do we call it? The adult pacifier.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
And it's you know, to keep your pipe lit, you got to shut up occasionally, and when you shut up, you allow the other person to share their views. And I don't know, there's something about when you light up. This is not the topic of our show.
No,
tonight,
not in the slightest.
But it is funny. We kind of are just diverting into this a little bit because it is so pertinent, and we're passionate about it. It's beautiful to see the magic that happens when you light up a pipe with someone else. And so, yeah, man, if you're out there and you're smoking your pipe around other people, man, keep it up and bring some other folks into that fold as well. And if you don't have a crew to smoke your pipe with, man, find one, create one, and convert some non-pipe smokers into lovers of the leaf. And man, just know that we deeply, sincerely believe that you're helping the world with every puff.
Oh man, okay. So speaking of already off topic at like the top of the show, like and you know, since we've talked touched politics, we've lightly touched politics. Let me lightly touch the church real quick, because
is there anything else controversial we can talk about religion and politics?
Look, we're talking about Lovecraft. You know, it's the controversial episode.
I know. We hadn't announced that yet. Yeah, this is the Halloween episode for the year. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead, Bo.
No, but I've been I don't even know how much I should actually share about this, just because I want to be respectful of the position that we're in. But regardless, I was in a church group recently, and we were discussing in terms of like what one might desire from a senior pastor. I guess I'll word it that way.
Yeah.
And we were going through kind of these logistics that were laid out by a particular denomination, and kind of using it as a basis. And one of the things that came through is like, not given to drunkenness, not drug abuse, not a smoker. And I was like, whoa, 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 hang on. I was like, first of all, these are not the same thing.
I was like, man, that ain't my denomination.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Exactly. And it was interesting because we had a diverse group, where our group that was kind of meeting for this is an extremely diverse group.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, so you don't see smoking as a sin? I was like, oh man, let's dive into this right here and now. You kidding me? Let's go.
And that's so, funny, man. Wow.
And I was like, no, are you kidding? The notion that I could sit down and have a pipe or cigar with my senior pastor is something that I find quite appealing.
Yeah.
I do not see that
same,
as a
man.
But
my two most recent priests have both been my customers, It's like
listen, my last pastor when I was in Jackson, there's a lot we did not agree upon, but dude was a cigar smoker, and I respect him for that right there.
Man,
so.
I know him well. He pounds the Arturo Fuentes. He sure
exactly.
does.
Exactly.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
funny, man. Yeah, that's well, it's a good aside and a good thing to, man, just kind of briefly explore with you here. And frankly, it's encouraging because it reminds me that, some pipe smokers, when you get that pipe in your mouth, you really can turn into these loving teddy bears that all of a sudden understand the other side just a little bit. So
that's right. Well, I mean, it's that pacifier, man. There's something to that. Well, hey, that's what a great unexpected way to start this episode.
Yeah.
And also, I tell you what, this actually works out pretty well because we are here in the United States. 4 years ago, when we were going through an election process, then we kind of made a promise to y'all that we've done our best to keep. It's been we've had feedback in terms of how well we've been able to keep it, but I think for the most part, we've always wanted to kind of keep this mindset that things happen in the world. The Country Squire kind of exists as kind of a way to sit in, and the shop is a great place to have those discussions. The show is kind of a great place to escape from the world. So regardless of what comes in the next couple of weeks, that we're not saying it's not important, but we're probably not going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pipes and pipe tobacco, baby. I'm excited.
That is exactly right. So
that is good, right, man.
Good chance
that
to reassure
right.
folks of that. Well, hey, and so we've got a lot of great things going on. And of course, the Country Squire is made possible by our amazing patrons and club members for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Dude, we've got a bunch of new members that I am really excited to shout out here. First of all, and man, at the Squire level, listen, Wade Dunlap. Now, let me ask you something, John David. Do you know what Dunlap's disease is? Okay,
I don't. Is it being a beautiful and handsome and you know, articulate and all,
all right,
those
so
kinds
this
of
is a, this is like a Southern check to figure out exactly how Southern someone is. Dunlap's disease is when your belly Dunlapped over your belt. You don't know about Dunlap's disease?
I don't. You know, I guess I should. You know, if you'd look at the people in my family, you'd probably say, he probably knows about Dunlap disease.
That was what my grandmother used to always say. But anyway, Wade Dunlap, who I'm sure is in like tip-top shape. That's not necessarily representative of the Dunlap's club there.
Wade, that's great. Yeah, thank you,
Wade.
Man.
Thanks so much for joining us here. Then we got Tyler Edwards, Edwards. Dang it, Tyler, your name is too easy to say. So Tyler at the Squire level, glad to have you here. We also have Josh Knuckrolls, which I like to think that he's got rolls of coins that he holds in his knuckles, and you don't want to throw down with Josh. That's the way that I
wouldn't, for a variety of reasons, but you know, I doubt he has coins in his
there
knuckles.
There you go.
Man, Josh, thank
and
you
then,
so much.
And then finally at the Pilgrim level, man, we got Eric Karloski. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Carl up there skiing it. Eric.
I know, right? Dude, Eric, man, thank you so much for supporting our show. Of course, longtime listener and longtime supporter. We're so
love
grateful
Eric,
for
man.
You, man. Eric, dear friend in the pipe community, and man, one of Michigan's finest.
All right, man, we've got a great show. Like I said, this is great. I actually think it's great that we touch on controversial subjects, probably in the least controversial way possible at the top of the show. And let's hope we carry that through, because by listener request for our Halloween episode, we are diving into Lovecraft-inspired blends, which is kind of fascinating for a number of reasons, but I think the most important one is that H.P. Lovecraft, not a pipe smoker.
It's kind of funny, right? You know, we'll talk about, you know, who Lovecraft was and the series that Cornell and Deal came out with, you know, kind of in honor of him. But yeah, not a pipe smoker, man. My understanding actually was he also was a non-drinker. He was a teetotaler. And so, you know, it's interesting. Just someone that, you know, inspired this kind of dark, sinister, twisted kind of universe, you know, in the Pulp Fiction that he wrote, early kind of one of the first early sci-fi writers, you know, and paranormal and all this kind of stuff. And yet he was, you know, relatively straight-laced, right?
Well, certainly when it came to like his, what he was imbibing. I mean, like, you know, one of the things that I've always found very fascinating about Lovecraft, or at least Lovecraft lore, is how very weird and different it is. I mean, you know, you think about kind of, for example, like J.R.R. Tolkien and kind of what he brought to fantasy, right? And like how he kind of brought in a lot of these various mythological concepts into this kind of one shared universe. In many respects, Lovecraft, as far as I kind of grasp his works, you know, it almost kind of like, is it safe to say that you could argue that Lovecraft was almost more original than Tolkien when it came to kind of creating his worlds?
Man, you know, okay, that's those are fighting words.
Okay,
but I'm not calling you out for it. I'm saying that's strong, but
possibly accurate.
But you've got an argument there. Yeah, you've got an argument there. Of course, they're both around the same time, right? I mean, you know, the Tolkien, you know, a product of that World War One era. Lovecraft, of course, the same. Maybe a little older. But, you know, these are people that kind of lived, inhabited some of the same space. Lovecraft, of course, was unknown in his lifetime. He was truly someone on the fringe, someone that wasn't celebrated by any stretch of the imagination, and only, you know, came to prominence kind of in the, you know, weird, you know, paranormal, sci-fi, horror, early horror stuff, really after his death, mm-hmm. you know. And so, from that standpoint, didn't really have a whole lot in common with Tolkien, but as far as creating a genre and certainly a universe that a lot of his works inhabited, I think that's arguable. Yeah, I really do. Interesting.
So he's someone whose like fantasy has inspired the imagination, which I think does kind of touch on the tobacconist, right? I mean, you yourself being a tobacconist, all of your blends, obviously.
You're giving me a lot of credit here, okay?
What I'm saying is, like, you have made some really, really fantastic blends, and there is always kind of this, people might think I'm waxing a little bit too poetic here, but I mean, there's always kind of a lore associated with a blend that you make. There's a story, there's some inspiration behind it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a reason why you kind of landed on this blend, this flavor, this texture connected with this name, and there's a story there. And so, you know, for our friends at Cornell and Deal, this is not something that that is a foreign concept to them as well.
That is exactly right, man. It's a good point, actually, because, of course, you know, the brain behind this child that they came out with, this H.P. Lovecraft-inspired series of tobaccos, Jeremy Reeves himself, and a romantic at heart, someone that, you know, has a lot of passion and energy and isn't going to put his name on something that doesn't have that same kind of, you know, story and interest and complexity and emotion, you know, evokes emotion and all this kind of stuff. And so, man, it's very, you know, very indicative of the kind of product he puts out, and it tells a story.
So I got to ask, like, I mean, and you might not know this. So I'm sorry if I'm setting you up to fail.
calling me out.
So, I mean, is it safe to assume that perhaps he is a fan of Lovecraft? You know what I mean? Like,
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot to. Of course, I haven't talked to Jeremy about this, and you know, I haven't spoken with Jeremy in a couple months actually. So, you know, we didn't talk about this episode before coming on air. But yeah, you know, I bet he is. I mean, I think it'd take a lot of guts to come out with an entire line of tobaccos that, you know, are based around the universe that someone like H.P. Lovecraft created. You know, and it's been a very successful line. They came out with 5 blends. They added a 6th later down the road, and all of them, you know, dark, rich, mysterious, very, you know, they certainly are blends that would ghost your right. pipe, you know, out of their rich complexity and all that type of stuff. I use the word ghost
intentionally,
you know, with pun intended there, right? You're welcome. But, you know, I think, you know, obviously he probably had that kind of honor in mind when he was going
that's
down
interesting.
That road.
So that's the thing, right? Like, you know, you think about what I love about this, you know, again, I do feel like, you know, because we were kind of talking about it before, like, man, H.P. Lovecraft, no, this dude was not a pipe smoker. We cannot do any kind of heroes of the bowl on him or villains of the bowl on him or anything of that nature from that angle. But because this was very specifically a listener requested concept, we felt, you know, pretty confident moving forward. I will say this, though. I really, you know, if you think back to our first ever Halloween special, it was called To the Depths, and it was inspired that even that title, and I mean, we've used that title since then as almost like an homage to our first ever Halloween episode. And it was because we took the concept of Heroes of the Bowl and we flipped it on its head, and we talked about villains who were pipe smokers. And our first ever villain that we talked about was Davy Jones from the Pirates of the Caribbean film series.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Entire look, very Lovecraftian inspired. Tentacles mm-hmm. for the beard. His head is essentially like this kind of octopus Cthulhu looking thing. He was this arbiter of death, almost like he had kind of corrupted his charge. He was supposed to ferry souls to the afterlife, but instead he was kind of enslaving them on his ship. And kind of making deals with them. And because of his corrupting of this task that was kind of put forth to him, he himself became corrupted, which is why he kind of became kind of this Cthulhu-like creature. And of course, you know, when we first are introduced to him, he is sitting there, he's smoking this giant pipe and using his tentacles to like light it, to put it out. Like, you know, it's like very, very effective in the way that he was utilizing his setup.
Mm.
But man, before even diving into this, you know, I feel like Lovecraft has been kind of experiencing a little bit of a moment here in terms of the lore. Because for one thing, I've never really played the Baldur's Gate series, but I know they've got a new game coming out. And I think because of the nature of 2020, I've been more like aware of video games and new video games on the market and just kind of, you know, what entertainment looks like here in the next coming years. And it's very easy to see that this is a very Lovecraft-inspired creatures that are going to be driving the video game, which is just such an interesting thing, the way that Lovecraft concepts have been coming back into the public lexicon. But there's kind of a nature to Lovecraft that always has to be dealt with. This was a deeply problematic person who had some very, very terrible views on humanity. Like, you know, a creative genius, but super racist, not even in kind of that like controversy, like even the racist, you know, like even people like, oh, well, you know, this person, like they were kind of like, no, this dude, like do some digging. Yeah. It's not hard to see. And one of the things that I've really found fascinating, because I just started watching it kind of in preparation even for this episode, I started watching HBO's Lovecraft Country, which is inspired, or at least I think pseudo based off of a novel called Lovecraft Country, where it kind of explores the horrors of, you know, the Jim Crow South, specifically being black in the Jim Crow South, and mixes that with Lovecraftian mythology. And kind of the way in which it's fascinating. And it's kind of this way in which you engage with literally all aspects of who Lovecraft was, right?
Yeah.
The fantastic genius. And even in that show, they start off by talking about, I think, John Carter, which is a fictional character not connected to Lovecraft, but the main character in the series is a fan of John Carter, and he's explaining it to this woman. They're both African-American. They're kind of on the road walking through the Jim Crow South. And he explains to her this is this Confederate general who gets lost on Mars. And she's like, he's a Confederate general. Like, you know, and he kind of talks about like reconciling with the fact that, you know, this kind of fantastic element and this kind of dreaming of living on Mars, but also kind of the problematic nature that's also associated with the character.
Yeah.
And that's just something you have to reconcile with.
No, that's right. Well, even as Americans, our you know, 100%. Story is littered with that kind
of stuff. Dude, even as fans of tobacco, man, are you kidding me?
It's exactly right. I mean, look at some of our heroes, you know.
That's exactly right.
Not just folks like Sir Walter Raleigh, you know, but even Albert Einstein. You know, you've got these geniuses that had their tragic flaws were a part of their stories, and certainly we think about some of our heroes that lived in different times and accomplished different things that are important to us all. But so Lovecraft was complex. He was very complex, and certainly in his way birthed a genre in some essence, but you know, was also also certainly had his own demons, right?
Yeah. So that's the thing. I always love, or I think it's always very important to, if you're going to talk about Lovecraft, if you're going to give this man the dues he definitely deserves for kind of the creative, fantastic nature of the way his imagination works and continues to inspire stories.
Yeah.
You have to also reconcile with the reality that the man was, but
let's separate the two and certainly enjoy some tobaccos that were inspired by his world. So,
yeah. All right. So getting into the actual tobacco. So we talked about kind of the worlds or the kind of the concepts painted by Lovecraft as kind of these darker spaces. There was always kind of and one of the things I kind of love about the concepts anyway, is that they're tied to underwater, right? Like this almost kind of like a sea lore. In so much mixed with the insanity of the mind, at least. I mean, you know better than I do.
Well, it's great, you know, and I want to be clear. I'm definitely no scholar of Lovecraft or the Cthulhu mythos and all this stuff. I've read a few books, and I find it enjoyable and intriguing. But yeah, there's this murkiness, right, that goes with the depths. You think of the depths, the lack of clarity that's there, the darkness, the intrigue. The hey, what's around that corner kind of thing. Oh, I heard a noise. What was that? and you know, certainly I think that has come up. You know, the squid-like features of the characters that are there in Lovecraft. But even in the artwork that we've seen that Cornell and Deal has come out with here, just some really interesting nods to that and to that motif that has been put out there. So yeah, pretty interesting. Again, Lovecraft. You know, someone that was that early horror writer and just had this interesting way of taking these situations and making a very nebulous description still coherent and understandable in a way where you could kind of muddle through it. It's really interesting. There's no writing like it that I've ever experienced. I read a lot of fiction, and he was certainly unique, very very unique in that way. Yeah. So these blends that Cornell and Deal came out with, they called it the Old One series, and man, just such a great bevy of tobaccos that are incredibly complex. They live up to their inspiration in some way because they're all that mysterious, murky, intriguing, complex, just when you'll get that random flavor of some very obscure tobacco that's in there, and when it pops up, you're like, oh, what was that? Man, I think they just really nailed it with this particular line. So yeah, I mean, we'll start out, we're just going to kind of briefly touch on each one of these tobaccos and the beauty of each one, and would love to hear, you know, after all this is said and done, if you have smoked the Cornell and Deal Lovecraft Old One series, these these blends. We'd love to hear from you and just kind of what your thoughts are on them. They've been really wild sellers, you know, as soon as...
Wild sellers. You said
wild.
You said beauty, man. You can't, this is the terrifying dark deeps of the Lovecraft series. The old ones are calling you.
Yeah, I'm just saying that what says beauty can't be a little scary, you know?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's deep.
It is. Man, he's got. They came out with several. The Innsmouth, of course, is the one of the first ones there that debuted. We had five original ones. They've added a sixth since then. But the description, we're going to read the description, just kind of give a brief overview of each tobacco. Innsmouth, a strange piece of jewelry, sends you on a quest down the accursed and decrepit streets of Innsmouth. Armed with this singular blend of Virginia's Caterini, Perique, and Black Cavendish, it's your duty to uncover the truth, the deep truth. Man, one thing you'll find as a theme throughout every single one of these tobaccos is that they all feature Perique. They all feature Perique. I will say the most recent one they came out with did not. I think they were like, okay, we need to throw the non-Perique guys, we need to throw them a bone. But all the other ones feature Perique, and most of them feature Turkish tobaccos as well, which is really interesting. So got a ribbon cut tobacco here. It's something that's, medium strength, but virtually unflavored, and has a nice full body to it. But this has got a little bit of sweetened Black Cavendish as well, in order to just kind of give it a nice palate to maybe the smoker that needs a little roundedness on the corners there. So Innsmouth was their first one, and of course very popular among the series. The next one, Cornell Deal Awakened Elder. This one is similar. You've got a lot of the same ingredients. They go on to say, after centuries of undisturbed slumber, something has awakened them. In their return, a great plume of exotic smoke rises from the deep, redolent with notes of Latakia, Katsuri, Virginia's Burley, Perique, and Black Cavendish.
Man.
And just a lot of this going on here. A tobacco that I think is maybe a little stronger than the Innsmouth. It's one of those that has a little more oomph to it. Certainly also a full-bodied or, medium-bodied tobacco that the non-aromatic smoker will enjoy. So, good one, too. Miskatonic Mixture. This is a blend that became one of their... came on really strong at the beginning and was very popular there right at first. Miskatonic Mixture, a fun name that a lot of people were like, well, I don't know what that means, but I'm certainly going to smoke it. I think folks were just intrigued by this more than anything. Amidst the old tomes in a remote corner of the library, you discover an obscure reference to an occult recipe, a pinch of granulated Perique over a bed of Caterini and Virginia, finished with a dash of sweet Black Cavendish to cure the madness. And, one of their more popular blends at the beginning of this, and just really something that appealed to a lot of different palates. The Black Cavendish softened it up there a little bit. It was a non-aromatic tobacco, but it's on the milder side, and something that is earthy, but also just a little sweet, a little spicy. The floral essences there of the Turkish tobacco, were brought out and made it kind of fun. So one of the ones that you're, more likely to find on the tobacconist shelf there, Miskatonic Mixture. Of course, the final two of the series that they came out with, first is Dreams of Kadath. This one of the most popular of all these blends. Dreams of Kadath, your journey to Kadath will not be an easy one. Before you descend the steps into the dreamlands, prepare yourself with this fragrant blend of dark Fire Kentucky, Caterini, Perique, Virginia Burley, and Black Cavendish. And as I'm reading these descriptions, like you're noticing the common threads there. I mean, it's just over and over: Perique, Black Cavendish, Virginias, and Orientals. It's fascinating. But Jeremy and his genius was able to create all these different blends that have these very similar ingredients, but they all taste different. You'll get in some are more floral, some are more cedary, Some have that little emphasis on the dark fired leaf that gives it a nice roasted smokiness, you know, that chestnut roasted flavor. It's really interesting how he's able to pull this off throughout the whole line. So Dreams of Kadath, this one is actually a plug tobacco. Cornell and Deal makes a great plug. They take you know, their choice leaves and then press them very, very hard into a little brownie, and they flake apart really easily. A lot of plugs are hard to pull apart, but they tend to have plugs that you can even manipulate some with your hands, which makes it kind of nice to, you know, be able to just out of a convenience thing. So anyway, Dreams of Kadath, and then finally, probably the most popular of all of these tobaccos, the Mad Fiddler Flake. It's a flake tobacco, Black Cavendish, cigar leaf, Perique, and Virginia. The cigar leaf is definitely the outlier here, right? It's something that is going to make this tobacco more full-bodied, more robust, and you know, earthy, chocolatey. You'll have that zestiness that's there that is hard to define, and other tobaccos that typically go in pipe tobaccos. So it says the eerie, otherworldly sound of a violin breaches the walls between your rooms as the Mad Fiddler reaches his crescendo. Embers take to your leaf, setting your mixture of Virginia, Katsuri, Perique, and Black Cavendish ablaze in the darkness. And man, this has been a wildly popular tobacco, and something that they've gotten to where they sell quite a bit of. Unflavored for the most part, we think, but it's going to be a little on the fuller side. Certainly that cigar leaf, you know, as we've mentioned before, how that adds to a lot of robust flavor in a pipe blend. It's got more nicotine. It's going to, of course, pair with that Perique to, you know, kind of provide a smoky, sour flavor that's, you know, interesting. And then, of course, rounded off by some of that Black Cavendish that's in there as well. So great tobaccos. They did come out with one other one. That other tobacco debuted later. It's the Visions of Celephus. I am probably not saying that right. C-E-L-E-P-H-A-I with two dots over it, S.
Just don't say it three times, lest he appear.
I know, that's right. That is right. And exactly. Man, yeah, again, a ribbon cut tobacco. This one is going to be the aromatic of the bunch that they've dropped in here to, you know, throw a bone to the folks that, you know, maybe aren't into the non-aromatics as much. And so what's interesting, this is the only one that does not feature Perique, which I think is interesting. And they've put a grappa topping on this, that, you know, nice soft wine flavor that goes, you know, with some different tobacco products. They'll use this kind of sparingly, but there's that grape topping that's kind of there. It's that, you know, generally a wine flavor that you'll get occasionally. It also features this Katsuri leaf, which is kind of interesting. Katsuri leaf, you know, it's not particularly common in pipe tobaccos, but it's a product of Indonesia. You'll see this occasionally in different blends, and more often you'll actually see it in clove cigarettes, which is kind of interesting. It's a tobacco that has almost an incense-y essence to it. The spice yields itself more towards the incense side of the spectrum, and so it's just a fun, interesting tobacco that they've, you know, introduced into this blend, and makes it that much more interesting and curious and murky.
Murky definitely sounds appropriate, all things considered.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think it's fascinating that only one of these, not in the series, is not a Perique blend. If you were to say there was one particular pipe tobacco that had, like, if there was such a thing, we know this is not the thing, but let's just say there was one pipe tobacco that had concentrated evil in it. like with no accounting for taste, no set of anything else. I'm just saying, like,
that's awesome.
Like, but you know. I mean, like, look, I have had pipes ghosted by Perique before.
No, that's it. That's it. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you were gonna, what'd you say? If you're gonna, you know, say that there's one tobacco that's made from concentrated evil, Yeah, I don't know. I may have to roll with that. I may have to use that in my own spiel occasionally because, Perique is so fun to me. I love blending with it. I love smoking it. It's so interesting, and you've got
yes.
mystery there. You've got pepper. You've got fruit. You've got wine. You've got vinegar. You've got sugar. It's really different. It's a sweet, spicy, vinegary, earthy, peaty, mushroomy delight. And I think there's probably and that might be what Jeremy was thinking.
I think so. And I think more power to him. I think that's brilliant, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. What better focus leaf to have in this bevy of tobaccos that you know is gonna be emphasized with the mysteriousness, the murkiness of it than Perique. I think that's probably a good
something to that. Well, man, you know, Perique's just it's just one of those. I feel like it's one of those pipe tobaccos out there that has so much lore attached to it. I know there's been a lot of discussion around kind of Perique lately in the pipe community.
Yeah.
That's something we want to address in the future to be sure. I wanted to go ahead and acknowledge that too, especially since it's such a prevalent ingredient in all of these, diabolical. Insane-inducing nightmare blends that one can only imagine will, you know, bring the horrors of the depths deep in from your soul, up from your soul and into your mind through the miracle of your pipe.
Well put, good sir. Well put, good sir. If there was any appropriate tobacco for Halloween, it would certainly be.
Absolutely. Well, man, great blends here, and you know, it's such a fascinating request, and I think one we've really had a lot of fun with to kind of explore these particular blends. But the great thing is, no matter what kind of pipe tobacco you happen to be smoking, whether or not you're worried that it may ghost your most pristine of pipes, and you want to make sure that you're able to enjoy it without having to worry about the spirits of pipe tobacco's past coming back to haunt you. The best way to do that, of course, is with a great corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. That is right. So many good pipes at Missouri Meerschaum, but excellent pipes to taste new tobaccos with. So let's say you wanted to get the pure essence of this entire lineup of tobaccos that Cornell & Diehl has come out with, all six blends. Man, you can get six beautiful pipes for a very low cost if you buy the Eaton corncob pipe. They're only $3.99 a piece as their retail. And, man, just an awesome small bowl with a really nice kind of slender frame. It's a beautiful tasting pipe, no filter, so you're getting just a really clean flavor of the tobacco itself. It has a smaller barrel shaped bowl. It's all natural and just that long kind of slim frame that's very, very attractive. A nice pocket pipe, also a good tasting pipe, and great for a pipe if you wanted to keep several around to give to a friend when you're got someone coming over that's not a pipe smoker but might want to try. Man, just a great gift. So the Eaton Corncob Pipe, you can find it from Missouri Meerschaum at their own website, corncobpipe.com. It's available now, and check it out.
And if you have an Eaton that you're either smoking this week or incorporating into your Halloween costume, be sure to just take a picture and let us know. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week. All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming in this week from listener Rob.
Man, Rob. Love Rob. Longtime listener and supporter of the show, man. Good to hear from you, brother. Hope you're doing well.
Absolutely, man. So Rob said, I have a question for you. I have a pipe that the stem has oxidized. Is there any way to clean it myself at home, or do I need to have it professionally cleaned? Thanks, Rob. Now, before you actually answer this question, John David, why don't you kind of break down what does oxidized mean as it relates to a pipe stem?
Yeah. What we're talking about here is the effect that both air and light have on rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's that ebonite or vulcanite material that you know stems are made of. You don't see this in acrylic stems or lucite stems, but that hard rubber that is traditionally used for pipe stems. If it starts to turn kind of a hazy white color, or certainly a green or yellowish color, that's what we call oxidation. It's the effect of oxygen and light on the stem itself. And so maybe we should do a whole episode on the chemistry of that one day. But it's yeah, it's an interesting thing that happens to some of the best stems on Earth, and it's unavoidable if the pipe is in the open air and around sunlight. And so yeah, just something that at some point, if you own a really nice pipe, it doesn't matter if it's a $5 pipe or a $3,000 pipe, if it's got a ebonite or vulcanite stem, it's probably going to oxidize. And so yeah, you can clean it yourself, Rob. What I do here in the shop, because I've got a setup with a buffing wheel and all the right polishing compounds is ever in everything, I can throw it on there and do some quick sanding and have it done pretty quickly. But if you're at home, there's a few things you can do. Brevia actually makes a pipe polish, which actually works for minor cases of oxidation. If it's something that's very light, you can rub it on there, let it sit a little bit, and then take a terry cloth and just buff it really, really good to try to get some of that oxidation off. What a lot of folks do with harder cases, stuff that's a little more intense, is they'll use things like OxyClean to soak these pipe stems in. If you give it kind of basically a bath in this OxyClean, you'll want to, when you get done with that, use a terry cloth to wipe it really good. And then, in some cases you might have to sand it a little bit too. And so, essentially if you go to most of the men that are listening to this show will never have gone into a makeup store. The reason I have gone into a makeup store is because if you've seen a picture of me, I have very long hair, and right. Sometimes I need things that are in that kind of store. They have grooming products and, things for
confession times with John David Cole. Like,
yes.
And so, little revelation about me, but I have been to the Ulta down the street a time or two, okay?
I mentioned drinking Chardonnay once in New Orleans, and you and yep. I can't hear the end of it. You will never hear this again. Everybody's like, yeah, of course, John
I never
David
will.
Go to the makeup store.
Never will.
Tobacco Jesus's mane must be upheld, of course.
It's got to be cared yeah. for, dude. It's got to be. Where else am I going to get, macadamia oil?
Oh man, such a double standard.
Right, I know, right? We if you go to a place like this, the reason we bring that up, they will have these you're probably familiar with emery boards, just a nail file. And they've got, a variety where you can actually get graduated nail files like this. You can do they've got a coarser one, a kind of a medium grit one, and then a finer grit one, basically to sand your nails down. Well, the same thing works great on your pipe stem, especially to get out teeth marks and some of that stubborn oxidation that won't come out from just kind of, polishing it with your hands. So anyway, give that a shot. That's something, if you'll go into a place like that, maybe a Walgreens, CVS drugstore will have something like that. Those, more sophisticated emery boards that have graduated, grits on them. But, that's a thing you can try as well. But, so anyway, something like that, Rob, you definitely can do it yourself. If you want to get a little more sophisticated and you have like a Dremel tool or something like that, some people will take a Dremel tool and get the buffing attachment for that and then start using maybe some polishing compounds like white diamond polish, Triple E. I'd probably go with the Triple E at first, unless you're doing some real heavy duty, want some, super precise work done, and then maybe followed up with some carnauba wax. But anyway, you can do it at home. It's certainly something that is going to take some extra effort. If you do use a chemical, obviously like OxyClean or bleach or anything like that, let's be very clear. You're going to want to clean it extremely thoroughly before you use it again. So inside and out, scrub that joker really good. Use maybe some grain alcohol or something of that nature to just get that joker really, really clean before you go putting your mouth on it. But you can do it yourself. If not, you can have it professionally clean. There's some great folks out there that do that kind of thing. We do it here at the Squire. You're welcome to contact us about it. But folks that do it more often that are probably better suited for that kind of thing. Folks like Reborn Pipes, our friend up in Canada. We've got Tim West, who does a whole lot of pipe repair there in the, I think Tim is in Ohio, if I'm remembering right. And, you know, we often send folks to Norwood's Pipe Repair in Tennessee. They do a good job as well. So it's so lots of, you know, different, you know, Briarville. I mean, there's so many good ones out there that that do good work. So anyway, check with someone like that if you need some extra help.
All right. Well, there you go. And great question, Rob. Hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quick fire question. Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in from Casey Holland. This is continuing on the Lord of the Rings series. Man, I bashed Tolkien in this early on. I didn't bash Tolkien. I want to go on record.
No, you didn't. I think what you said was very. It was an interesting observation and something that. Yeah, no, I mean, it was fair.
It's fair. Okay, all right. Just making sure. And now we get to pay homage and love for Tolkien as well, so it works out. It all comes balancing out. All right, so this is continuing on the Tolkien quickfire questions that Casey sent us. Are you ready, sir?
Yep.
All right. Would you rather explore the forest with Tom Bombadil or fly on eagles with Gandalf?
I would rather be in the forest with Tom Bombadil. As much as attractive as it is to spend that much more time with Gandalf, you know, I'll keep my feet on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, flying cool. The eagles get played out. I feel like they always show up like every 5 minutes anyway to solve problems, and I don't want to be accused of relying on the eagles.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing too, and this is really what it comes down to, is there's so many mysteries still surrounding Tom Bombadil, and you know, I feel like you could spend hours with that dude, like chilling in the forest, and still not get. Like, you'd walk away with even more questions than answers. And so, yeah, I would definitely rather explore the forest with Tom Bombadil, try to see it through his eyes, ask questions, get more questions. That man is a lore machine, so I'm all about Tom Bombadil.
I'm with you.
All right. would you rather smoke your pipe in front of the hearth of Bag End or while camping out on Weathertop?
Wow. I'd probably rather the hearth of Bag End.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah. Weathertop terrifies me a little bit. but the warmth of Bag End, just in general, that hearth of your own home being cozy, where you can kind of relax and let your guard down. I don't know. That's the place I think I would like my pipe most.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, like, you know, you, me, people listening, they realize we're Mississippi boys. Like, that's gonna come across just from the sound of our voice, one way or the other. But at the same time, like, we don't really hunt. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Like we are not outdoorsmen at all.
No. No, it's kind of ridiculous. We're probably the two
pipe smoking Mississippian grown
men, pipe smoking beard wearing
flannel
Mississippians. Yeah, I have two pickup trucks, you know,
and you
I'm
do.
Just I mean I do, and I
you got
I
the
own
good one
fire,
and the other one.
I own I do. I've got exactly. I own firearms and have a concealed carry
That's
permit
right.
and all that. But I'm not a hunter.
Not a hunter.
Just not a hunter.
Not
I don't know. It's
the
just
slightest.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I think
guilty
for both
is charged.
I think for both of us, give us a warm hearth with a room over our heads, and you know, camping's great. Y'all enjoy. You know.
You know, I have a Ford F-150. It's a little older truck, but when I pulled up in front, you know, a buddy of mine was at this place one time. I pulled the truck up and got out, and he just kind of shook his head. He looked at me and he said, "That's the worst waste of a truck I've ever seen." And you know, he's probably not wrong. Yeah.
No, that was accurate, man. That's great. All right, so there you go. And then finally he said, would you prefer smoking an aromatic with Aragorn or an English with Gandalf? Ooh, interesting.
Dang.
Just trying to make, make trouble with this one. Just trying to make some trouble with this one. Yes, and congratulations, Casey. You did, because this is a toughie right here.
Yeah, man, I would probably have to do English with Gandalf. As intriguing as Aragorn is, man, there's nothing more intriguing than Gandalf. And so, having the opportunity to sit there and enjoy a pipe and maybe get his guard a little low to ask some probing questions and get some interesting answers, I couldn't pass that up.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, like, you know, no slight to, you know, the once and future king of Gondor.
No, I mean, hey, I'm all about it. I mean, all, you know, he great guy.
I from time to time I get flack for not being I smoke English. I do smoke English. I don't smoke all English. I'm not like an English smoker. You know what I mean? Like
not your go-to.
Exactly.
Your
I do prefer aromatics, but I will tell you this. I will smoke like the strongest, worst, at least worst for me, English blend if it meant being able to enjoy a pipe with Gandalf.
Yeah, or Perique. Yeah.
That's right. Now, you can put Tom Bombadil in the mix, it's going to change. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So there you go. Those are great questions, Casey. Thank you so much for those. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Man, we got some great listener feedback this week, of course, coming in from Marcus from Michigan. Man, we get the Michigan edition coming in. We got Eric up there.
We have so many friends in Michigan. We love those guys.
Out here representing. All right, so Marcus from Michigan. This is a little bit of a long one. That's all right. What did Marcus have to say?
Yeah, he says, "Hi guys, I'm a longtime listener. I listen to podcasts on my 40-minute work commute every day, and I'm always happy to see when there's a new episode of Country Squire Radio. Sadly, I'm a little backed up on episodes as I've been working remote because of COVID, but I've recently gotten back to work in person a few days a week and heard a listener question that I may be able to help with." He goes on to say, "This was a question from several episodes back asking what to do with pipe tobacco you don't love and new tins you want to open but don't have enough jars. I've been smoking a pipe for about 12 years and have encountered this from time to time. I would put the tobacco in a large mason jar and just keep cramming it in there until it couldn't fit anymore. Then I'd move on to other blends. Well, after years of doing this, I finally thought, I've got to do something with this tobacco. So I made my own tobacco press. This is a suggestion that is accessible to everyone. I went to the hardware store and bought a piece of 3-inch PVC pipe, an 8-inch C-clamp, and two standard hockey pucks, which ironically fit perfectly in the PVC pipe. I dumped the tobacco in a big mixed bowl and blended it all together. This was a mixture of dry samples people had given me over the years, aromatics that just didn't sit well with me, and high-end blends that frankly my palate wasn't ready for at the time, and I gave up too soon. Using wax paper to cover the hockey pucks to prevent from sticking, I jammed as much tobacco in as possible and then used a wooden spoon to help jam in more. I put on the C-clamp and turned it till I couldn't turn anymore, then took off the pressure and jammed more in. Once I had all the tobacco in, I tightened it back down and let it sit for 2 weeks, turning it a half turn every morning before work. At the end of 2 weeks, I took it out and was left with a huge brick of dark, sticky, glorious tobacco.
Wow.
And I have to say, it's one of my favorite things to smoke. Mm. This could be done with individual blends or mixing whatever, but it's fun, and I love sharing it with people and telling them where it came from. Love the show, guys. Keep it up. And that's Marcus from Michigan. Marcus, this is awesome. And we've done this before at the Squire and have recommended it to people as well. The Hockey Puck PVC tobacco press is just foolproof, and it is so easy, and it's perfect. It makes a great cake, and so would highly recommend this, even if you just have a favorite tobacco but want to accelerate the aging process a little bit, or are interested to see what it would do under maybe some pressure, and it's a humid, hot few weeks or something. Set it outside, let it get a little heat as well. Man, it's a great way to do it. That PVC pipe, for some reason, it's almost like it was planned this way, but a hockey puck fits perfectly on the inside of that joker, and clamp it really hard down with that PVC or with the C clamp, and man, you've got just an awesome poor man's tobacco press that is just really works great. So check it out. Awesome note on that, Marcus, and we thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, absolutely epic. And by the way, excellent email in terms of just your descriptions here. I got somehow hungry while you were describing it. Kind of impressive.
It was the wax paper that got you.
Man, I thought it was really good. So, hey, thank you so much for that listener feedback. We always appreciate getting those in. And, hey, if you've got some listener feedback for us, show at Country Squire Radio is the place to do it. You can also keep up with us throughout the week on the Twitters. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
At Squire Radio is the show's handle, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, I never actually asked y'all are y'all expecting trick-or-treaters this year?
Actually, we probably will get some, just because I can't imagine everybody staying at home. But
that's right,
I think the city of Jackson actually has, quote-unquote, canceled Halloween trick-or-treating. I don't know how you do that. Is there a committee that sits around and actually is like, we are the Halloween overlords? I don't know, but anyway, they're trying to discourage the trick-or-treating here this year.
do you remember, I don't remember if it was maybe 2 years ago, because I feel like it was our last Halloween in Jackson.
Yeah.
There was a situation where like the weather was so bad that the city postponed Halloween by like 2 days. But the problem was, what ended up happening is you had, like, some people would come up on actual Halloween because the weather ended up being like, it changed, it ended up not being as bad as it was. And then like some people showed up on Halloween, but then somebody showed up on like the Saturday before. It was wild. It was wild. So you're exactly right. Like, the city, I know, is going to do their part to try to make sure that everybody's safe and healthy and everything. But at the same time, folks are going to do what folks are going to do.
It's going to do it, man. So I don't know. Right. We'll probably have a little candy sitting around just in case. But I would encourage you, if you are listening, just don't come knock on my door.
Yeah, that's probably good. That's probably, you know what we're going to do, man. We're going to put out a table in front of the house, and we're going to kind of like have little like candy like segments so people can come by and get the candy. We're going to hang out in front of the house with like, some good pumpkin beer.
That was about to say, you'll be drinking. Going.
it'll be great. And we'll have gloves on and like lay out some candy for the kids. That's and everything good. When they come through. I thought that was a good, healthy way to do it. So anyway, it'll be fun. Hopefully enjoying the pipe by the fire pit, man. Because that's in my mind, that's the best way to enjoy it.
I agree.
Wait, hey man, let's go have a spooky Halloween.
Bye, Bo.
you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.